So, John, there you are. You're in the airplane. You're 30 miles short of your destination, an ILS, and you're in and done after this glorious day. And you're really going to land? You're going to land and refuel and then fly that last 30 miles?
You really have to. You know, it flies in the face of a lot of our desires to get someplace, and we're so close. Like you said, we're 30 miles away. We need this fuel for all of probably 10 minutes that we're going to be in the clouds on this approach. But because you're not going to get caught, as we said, does that really make it safe or legal? No. I think it goes back to, though, a bit more planning would have alleviated you getting to this point. And we can talk about that too. You know, you passed all these other places where you could have gotten fuel. You took off knowing that the airport was IFR. The forecast, if you look at the TAF, was calling for clearing. That never happened. And you know you live there that this stuff doesn't happen. So, and you also knew that you were in a very, very fuel critical state, not fuel critical in you know, the current term of it, but that you were very bound by the weight that you were carrying, that you could only carry a small amount of fuel. So you knew you were launching with this.
Doug.
I know I'm probably the most anti-authority person sitting at this table, okay? But I will say that from my perspective, the agency rules about fuel are the most misguiding rules in the entire lexicon of regulations. As someone who's been there and done that and almost run out of fuel, I learned my lesson early on. I'm never going to pass up a chance to get fuel. These rules, I'll be honest, from my perspective, the rules about fuel are ridiculous.
If How so? Ever, well, you mean in what respect?
In the respect that they're too dangerous.
They don't require enough.
I mean, you talk to any pilot. I'm sure Wally had the same experience when we're talking with pilots in a practical test. Do you agree that VFR 30 minutes is enough? IFR 45 at night? Do you agree? Oh, no, my personal minimums are an hour. Well, the thing here, we really get into personal minimums. If you've established personal minimums, do you adhere to them? And that's a whole other issue involved with this. Yeah. And that's what John is saying. His personal minimums say an hour. And I'm going to adhere to those minimums.
Well, here we're talking about minimal fuel here. This airplane burns approx 14 gallons an hour. Think about what you're looking at while you're flying this airplane with the fuel gauges almost on empty. These are relatively big tanks. When you have 7 gallons of fuel in each tank, they're pretty much getting real close to the E mark. And if that isn't distracting, I don't know what is. In my mind, you don't want to be looking at those fuel gauges when they're in that state. They really affect how you fly and what kind of decisions you make on your flight.
Absolutely. But to go back to – and that's – you know, they're basically bouncing off the peg at that point. And who knows what – you know, if you turn whether you're going to unport or anything, there's all sorts of issues there. But to go back to your point, and I agree, and I think part of it is from a general misunderstanding of the fuel requirements in the population as a whole. And that comes from a lot of the flight planning software that we have. You know, you plug in point A, point B, the alternate is point C. Okay, that's X number of miles. I've got the gallons to do that, but when you add in, and that's why we chose this as an example, you add in the maneuvering for the approach, you add in the missed approach, then you add what you got to go to the alternate, and then you got to add maneuvering for an approach there and a missed approach and 45 minutes. All of a sudden, that 10-mile away alternate now needs, you know, maybe almost another hour's worth of flying. If you follow the letter of the law that way, it provides a lot more fuel buffer than most people think they have.
I think it's very tempting to try to go to Crescent City. I think all of us would be pulled there because it's, you know, it's just at minimums, a little bit above minimums. Landing short and getting fuel, it's going to get later in the day, and that fog is probably only going to get worse as the temperature goes down. But I just took a look at the sectional chart, and if you decide to miss at Crescent City and proceed over to Illinois Valley, the maximum elevation figure on that route is 5,500 feet. So now you've gotten yourself short on fuel, and in addition to that, you've got a pretty long climb to get over there, assuming you get a fairly direct clearance. So I think that's just another factor that could put you deeper in the hole.
Dave? I think John's point about human nature is really insightful here. I think that the smart thing here is to put yourself in a position to make a good decision. And you know, we're all weak. When we get close, we all want to finish the trip. I agree with the rest of the table that number four is the right decision here to do. And stopping in Medford for fuel would probably be better. The only thing that would tip the balance for me in favor of continuing on to Crescent City, the number two alternative, is if we consciously decided to fly slower, conserve fuel, and then have enough to divert with that sufficient reserves, that might tip the balance for me, and it would avoid another max gross takeoff, which would loom large in my mind.
And you still have to, coming out of Illinois Valley, you'd probably still have to climb up to 6,000 or 7,000 feet to get IFR going back to Crescent City again. You know, it's not going to be just that 30 miles.
Yeah, that's absolutely true. But I have to say, Dave, you're not in agreement with the whole rest of the table, because I'm not in agreement with the whole rest of the table. I'm going to Crescent City. On the legal side of things, Illinois Valley is a perfectly viable alternate with sufficient fuel. There's no legal break in doing that. I can file it. I have the fuel for it. I'll have, after getting there and shooting my approach, which is a visual, another 45 minutes. We've determined that. And that's without –
it's not a visual.
What? Not a visual approach in the sense of cleared for the visual, but I'm landing visually. There's not a published approach. I'm going to make a descent visually, which I'm very confident I'll be able to do. Now, is it possible that I won't be able to land it, you know, that a deer will run across the runway or, you know, there'll be a volcanic eruption. I mean, like, who knows what could happen, right? Yes, that's always possible. But the way I'm looking at it is legally there's no issue. And I am planning to land at my destination with more than an hour on board. My destination is Crescent City. That's why these rules exist, that I could fly to Crescent City and land as planned with at least an hour reserve, right? Meeting, if that's my minimum, to land at my destination with an hour reserve, knowing that I have enough fuel to do the mist, go back to Illinois Valley, and still have 45 minutes, which is probably enough at a long-range cruise to even get to another airport of Medford. To me, that's just overly conservative. It's not wrong per se, but it feels unnecessary. Maybe I'll put it back out there. What if it was 1,000 feet at Crescent City and not 400? You know, at what point do you say my plan to land at my destination with an hour reserve is, no, my plan is to land at my alternate with an hour reserve? Like, where is that line for people?
You've lost me somewhere on that. That you said you plan to continue on to Crescent City,
mm-hmm.
shoot the approach,
and land. That's my plan. My plan is to land at Crescent City.
Course, but, right? But you're not going to be legal.
Why am I not going to be legal?
Because you still have to get to an alternate and have the reserve.
Which I do as long as my alternate is Illinois Valley. So it's legality is fine.
Well, it's a question of personal minimums. I think John
– That
John,
I can work
John
with.
John pointed out that it
yeah,
was
yeah,
a little
but,
bit
But now you're
edgy.
Talking about you've only got – you need exactly 40 gallons to do that, and you have exactly 40 gallons on board. You know, do you really have 40 – do you have 38? You know, did when you asked for 10 gallons a side – in Bend, did they top off – or not top off, but put exactly that much in? You know, at that point, you're sticking to tanks, and that's why you have reserves. And you're really cutting into that. That's just too fine
see,
for me.
See, to me – and that I can buy as a personal choice. But to me, we're using reserves here exactly what reserves are for. Right,
well,
and
that's
if
your
I
personal
knew
minimum.
And if I
that
knew
works
it, ex-
for you.
Exactly, if I knew it was going to be tight, I did dip the tanks at Bend, Oregon. I've got this much because I know I might need it all, and I might have an instrument approach. So I would continue on for those last 30 miles. It's my home airport; I know it well. Fog, it's stable. I should be able to break out. I should be landing with over an hour of gas
it's
on board.
It's a defendable
and if I don't,
position.
If I don't, I have the reserves, and I've It's not like a questionable airport. It's right there below me.
Isn't it funny how the home airport makes a difference?
Negative.
I mean, it's like this is an ILS. It's 300 overcast. What possible difference does it make if it's your home airport or Timbuktu? Isn't it funny how we treat our own ILS differently? It's a 3-degree glide slope. They're all the same. Yeah. And the localizer can go out. The glide slope can go out just as easily at your home airport as it can anywhere else.
Sure. Agreed. Bob.
I think really the difference between John's conclusion and yours, Jeff, is really personal minimums. John requires a little bit more reserve fuel, which I personally agree with. And the other thing I want to point out, just emphasize, John was talking about doing the approaches. Each approach could amount to 20 miles of vectoring easily. That's a lot of fuel.
Or maneuvering. In this case, you can't even be sure that you're going to get radar vectoring out there, down low. So you got to pick one of the published transitions.
Certainly
and fly that, which could be a lot longer. Another option that we didn't really talk about, and it's not necessarily an option, but it's, I would say, a consideration, is assuming you do miss at Crescent City, 1,500 feet on the miss, you're back out the tops, you could cancel and just go back to Illinois Valley VFR.
That's not going to change your fuel, though.
But it does require the altitude you have to fly to, and that's the most wasteful part of the
– imagine trying to explain to the FAA that the only way you could stay legal was by canceling IFR.
I have no problem with that. I
know.
I'm sorry.
It's curious. I mean, if you put yourself in that position where you have to cancel one form to stay legal, the whole thing is just running on too thin a margin.
On careless and reckless
it's just too thin a margin for my comfort level. That's my whole point in this. The two points were that you got to figure a lot more fuel than just point A to point B, and then comfort level and accuracy of fuel burn and all that stuff.
And there are other eventualities that could occur here that we can't foresee. And again, when those fuel gauges are bouncing near the peg, your decision-making process is likely to change.
Well, I think as Dave said, it's the home field pull also. If you're number one, critical on fuel, or at least minimum on fuel, and you're landing at home, your temptation to push that approach a little bit below minimums, or to try to salvage something that wasn't going very well, is the thing that can get you in trouble. Whereas if you're sitting out there with 3/4 of a tank of fuel, a missed approach is no big deal. You go back and do it again.
Yeah, fair enough. Now, just for clarity here, if I was landing, or in this scenario, if we were landing at Illinois Valley with an hour on board, if there was just that much more fuel, would that tip the balance for people at the table here? You said an hour on board. That's what ruled it out for you, because it was 45 minutes on board.
You mean if you were able to do the approach at Crescent?
The approach at Crescent City, you launch, and then you can cancel and immediately go back to Illinois Valley and land with an hour on board.
Yep, I'd go. I'd take that.
You take it, Bob. Everyone around the table would take it. So really, it's that 15 minutes of fuel, and what people are willing to do is, if it's 60 minutes of fuel, yes. If it's 45 minutes of fuel, no. Is that really what we're talking about?
But this gets back to, Jeff, very much what I said at the outset. If we establish personal minimums for ourselves and can't adhere to them, why have you bothered establishing the minimums?
Right.
If my minimums are an hour and I land with 55, I've just broken my minimums, which means now I'm going to break my minimums on a lot of other things. I might have personal minimums. I'll fly to 200.5, but maybe Dave will only go to 300.75. I know he'll probably go to 100.25. We have those minimums, and they're there for our safety, not for no one else. And if you don't have those, if you don't adhere to them, why have them?
And that gets into, there's personal minimums and there's regulatory minimums too. And there's a tendency to creep that. Suppose we had, instead of 45 minutes, you had 43 minutes of fuel, would that be enough? So, or if we were 2 pounds over gross weight, or now we're 10 pounds over gross weight, now we're 20 pounds. You know, where do you stop that? You know, has it been 91 days since I made my last three takeoff and landings? Well, the difference between 89 days and 91 days is immaterial, but we have those hard and fast things that we have to adhere to.
Yeah, and I think that makes a lot of sense in, you know, having some kind of hard number, particularly in the regulatory ones. Like, you've got to meet this. At least that provides an objective number, because whenever we can inject some objective constraints on a situation, it removes that home airport or just a little longer, or be it's okay. But I don't know that it's the minimums on fuel, particularly since you brought this up, Doug. To me, that one actually has a little bit of context on it for the 45 minutes versus an hour or not. I'm very comfortable landing on a VFR day with 45 minutes of fuel in the area I tend to fly around New England, because there are seven other airports with fuel within 10 minutes of each destination. I mean, I can pretty much take off, point the airplane in a direction, wait a few minutes and pull the power, and I can probably glide to an airport in some areas. Whereas out west, an hour might not be enough, because if I can't land here – like, it's going to be max range just to get to another airport and find it in an hour. So I'm not sure that hour works all that well. Now, in this situation, you do have to climb back over the hills. And, you know, while you swayed me a little bit with the sectional chart there, that maybe not going back. But even so, I think if that's in the range of my 206, I'm going to stay with it. But yeah, I think that is kind of contextual. Mm-hmm.
Just keep in mind, this is a buddy road trip. This is supposed to be fun, and doing an approach to near minimums with the fuel gauges on empty is not fun. Doesn't fit the script.
No, that makes sense. That you know, there's definitely that component to it, and you know, maybe that does go back to that planning part at the very beginning. You know, it wasn't improving. It was supposed to improve. It didn't. It wasn't improving. You decided to launch anyway because you didn't want to go after dark. You know, maybe back there was the time to add, you know, one more scene to this buddy film and be like, look, we're going to land, we're going to get dinner in Medford, and then we're going to continue on to Crescent City. And if we miss, well, we're going back to Medford and spending the night because it ain't clearing out until tomorrow.